Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. My name is Darius Wasefi, and today I am speaking with Martin LeBlanc from a company called FreePic, which is in the image generation and creative image creation business. So welcome to the podcast, Martin.
Thank you, Darius. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a brief overview of your background and then tie it into what you do at FreePic and what the company does.
Yeah, so brief intro. So my background is in both computer science and business administration. I studied that in Copenhagen some years ago. And while studying, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I started a company called Icon Finder, which is like a search engine for icons, but also a two-sided marketplace. I worked on that for some years, raised money, eventually met with the founders of FreePic, and we decided that they decided to acquire Icon Finder, and then I joined FreePic, and then I basically continued working there. So FreePic also had a very similar product to what I built, which is called Flat Icon, that some people might know. And for a while, I was leading like all the icon efforts, like both for Icon Finder and for Flat Icon. And then I changed my role to CPO, Chief Product Officer, which was my role for about 1.5 years. And about a half a year ago, I changed my role to go back to more actually building products, so more a hands-on role. But this time, it's basically, AI first. So my area right now that I'm focusing a lot on is actually for building products for audio. So in FreePic, we have been working for many years as a stock photo company. We also expanded to video templates, many different things, but all in this, in a fashion where the products were pre-made. So it was like, a stock platform. Mm-hmm. What we really are focusing on, almost entirely right now is really to change the way FreePic works. So now you can go to FreePic and we have, image generation, we have video generation. You can actually create a video and ask it to also add audio, so add sound effects. And we're also expanding into that you can, generate voiceovers, all these different things. So we're really becoming this, we're still solving many of the same problems for our customers, but we are doing it, I think, in a way more interesting way, way more flexible, right? Than just getting a stock photo, you can now generate whatever you want.
Yeah. So, okay, great. Well, that's a very interesting background. It's definitely all tied into from going from your own company into a relevant business. So, so of course, the topic right now, the world as we knew it changed, right? In a very quick time frame. And I think that's like one of the things that everybody's trying to do right now is to figure out, first of all, how did the world change? How did my world change? How did my customer's world change? And how do I find my footing? And I call it, I had another interview and I called it, it's like playing the musical chairs right now. Yeah. Like, you have to quickly find a chair for yourself or you're going to be left out of the game. And that's like the AI and the generative AI side. And like, graphics is probably one of the most impacted from this generative AI revolution. So I'm really interested to see how you're dealing with that, how you're handling that strategically and also tactically.
Yeah, so we, I think we were not necessarily very slow, but I think we were we were in this, looking at our stock product and, maybe I think 2 years ago, we were still like thinking, okay, it's like, we can see AI coming, but we were not super fast to react. So we weren't like originally one of the pioneers, but I think at some point, if that was been like mid 23, We really started saying, okay, this the stock business is going to be completely disrupted. Like, I
This
think,
is serious
when
now. It's
yes,
not,
I
yeah.
think the biggest I think, what's interesting with generative AI is that the changes don't happen gradually. They happen in jumps. So you go from something that is like close to useless to being really good. If I recall correctly, I think it was version 3 of Midjourney that came out. So it couldn't, draw anything you could use. And then suddenly, almost from one day to another, you had like a model that could generate, close to photorealistic images, right? So these kind of events were happening. And we in Freepik, I think we decided strategically, there's just like no way that we are going to be continuing as a stock business. We have to, like, it really was like it's all or nothing. So we still keep our stock business running and so on, but it's definitely not like the focus at all strategically right now. So we look at the stock business as a platform for us, where it gives us, a lot of training data. We can build a lot of AI tools on the back of a stock image. So you can take a stock image, you can click it, and you can manipulate it. You can change it somehow. You can change the background. You can upscale it. You can do a lot of things from many of these stock assets, but it is really the new products that is the future for us, for sure, strategically. So that's something we've done. And I think from it's maybe a tactical thing, but exactly a year ago, on beginning of January 2024, we started talking about Freepik as Freepik 2.0. So simply like drawing a line in the sand, saying there was something in the past which was Freepik 1.0, which was a stock product. Freepik 2.0 is all about giving people tools and products where they can generate using AI. So they can have a starting point of a photo, which is like maybe a product photo, and then they can take that, maybe low quality product photo, and then make it look amazing, or they can generate something from scratch, images, videos, music.
So
So
let's
that's
okay, that's great. The let's go in a little bit more about, since you're also on the build side in the product, I feel like I can talk to you about more on that detail. So how did you build your AI capabilities, your Gen AI capabilities? Are you using your own models, or are you using like Midjourney in the back end, or how is that made?
Yeah, so the process we often follow is roughly like, if we have an idea for a product, we go look for anything where we can leverage an API. So we very quickly can create a proof of concept to see if this process works and so on. What often happens is that if you go out and buy a service through an API, it often can be maybe more expensive than hosting it yourself. So what we do for some of these, we create a prototype using an API, maybe present it to the users, see if it gets traction. Once it gets traction, we then go into more customer optimization. And then we have a few hosting providers. We also have our own hardware, so we can basically run these models ourselves and really, first of all, we can get much better maybe response times. We can adjust the models via, fine-tune them. But then we can also really, we can cut the cost a lot for running the service. So that's like a very common way for us. We've now built multiple products this way. So starting with an external provider using API, and then once we scale, we start like having more control over what we are running, and then either running on our own hardware or on a cloud service where we have like some really good agreements with, so we can get GPUs, we can lock them down for maybe 1 year, 2 years, and get a better deal.
So you have some NVIDIA CPUs in your desk drawer?
Yes, yeah, we have those also in the office. We have a little very, very noisy section of the office where we have like, yeah, these
That
tools. So,
right? Okay.
yeah.
So like, how did you build the actual like the capability? Like, so where in that progression that you just mentioned are you in? Are you still in the API usage of an API, or have you actually started building your own model and actually using your own data?
So we've not built our own model, because building, from scratch, building your own model is a very, expensive step to take. What we benefited from has been to take existing models and then do fine tuning on top. So we have been fixing some of the problems from models that we could get access to.
Okay, so let's talk about the whole space of icon generation, image generation. So like how many players are there right now that you would consider good? And again, this information, none of it is prop in the proprietary anymore. You can just go to ChatGPT, ask, and it'll tell you everything. So yeah.
I think we have been looking at, I think there are many players, and they all have pros and cons, I think. When we are benchmarking, you can see that some of the models, they are really good. For example, Midjourney is very famous for having a very artistic edge, which is their thing. It's great. Some people love that, some people don't. And maybe, Midjourney would, let's say you want to generate images of hands, then Midjourney, at least the current model, is not the strongest in the market. And then you have other models that are coming up. For example, we had an event. I think it shook the whole image generation space with Flux, which was, an open model that suddenly was like in excellent quality, and it solved some of the problems. For example, it could generate text really well. So and suddenly, that is just deployed into the market, right? And I think, and then you have also a company like Adobe with Firefly. They have chosen a very specific approach, where they wanted to make sure that they had like a, a very tight control over the training data, and that gave them some benefits maybe on the legal side, but then you could also see that on the quality side they were not developing as quickly as the rest of the market. So they were like quality wise was falling behind, even though they had some benefits on the legal side. So the market really has like, many different players that has pros, like, strong sides and weaknesses. And it's about finding out like what are the most important things for the customers. We have like one of the products that we have that is, I think, one of the best is that we have acquired a company called Magnific. Magnific has been famous for an excellent upscaling technology, but now also are creating images. And that, the quality of that is just amazing. And I think one of the benefits of that one is really on photorealism. It's just mind-blowing in photorealism, where you could compare that to Midjourney, which is maybe more really good for artistic content.
Okay, so this is like a very interesting time in really the introduction of all these generative AI or the next gen AI tools into what we all do. And what it seems like is that it's becoming like almost like a three-tier or three-legged stool for building applications. One is the base model. The other one is the actual application layer, and then the data.
Yes.
Is that correct in your view as well?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Okay, so now in order to build an application, and this is really nice because maybe a year ago, the APIs were not as good as they are now. And application builders like really were thinking about, God, I have to build my own model. I have to hire all these people. And that's it. Like, I can't do that. But then with the APIs coming out, it just opened up a whole new world of opportunity, which is awesome. We use it ourselves in my company. We have a shopping app and we use different models, different, LLMs, core LLMs for the initial data. So anyway, but as an application, so it seems like the application is going to be the differentiator of the future.
To some extent, I think in some areas, for some of these more generic use cases, it's probably going to be at that layer. I think also one thing that we didn't mention here is also distribution. Because I think, two companies who have
Yes.
access to the same API, same models, and if you are excellent in distribution, you can have a very different business case, because you are, as soon as you can get up in a certain scale, you can negotiate a better price for an API agreement. You can lower the price, and then in turn you can get more customers. So I think, that this, we will compete on the application layer, but I think there's also a lot to say about distribution. How important, basically in the distribution is has always been, on the internet, like a very important way to compete. You can have two e-commerce businesses. If one is excellent in SEO, it doesn't matter if you have, sell the same products. The company that excels in SEO is going to be the winner.
Yeah,
Yeah,
which
and
is
I
a
think.
very interesting point for founders, is a lot of times, I'm a founder myself. I think you probably started from the same place, is that you thought, okay, I'm going to build this really interesting product, and
Yeah.
that's all I need. And then you
Yeah.
build it, and you see there is a product that is not as good, but it's getting a lot of usage. And you're just saying,
Exactly.
what's wrong with this picture? And that's exactly
Exactly.
what it is. It's the
Yeah.
distribution. Yeah,
And
totally.
I think in even in this world of AI right now, we might be in a stage where, like people are experimenting a lot. They're moving between products, and maybe there's also so much difference in products that it's worth it to explore. But I think very soon, when the market starts maturing more, there's going to be way more competition on the distribution part.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, but so I think there's also a link between distribution and also the quality of your product, right? They're not totally disconnected. You
Yes.
cannot
Yeah.
just, like, because again, it's so easy to find information now and to get comparisons, even like where we
Yes.
used to do a research and spend 2 hours finding out the reviews on the competitors and everything. It just takes a minute to put into some LLM and get that information. So the quality also has to be there.
Yes. And also how I think how the product is built. You like a good product manager today, needs to basically think about the distribution part when building the product. How's this going to be shared? What is the funnel going to look like? What are we giving away for free versus what are we charging for? What are the dynamics? Are there one example, for example, right now is that we have an image generator, but we're also building, on the top of that, we're building a community. So we're building, an option for people to not only generate the images, but they can actually publish to a profile page, and then they can get their work featured. But of course, like if you can get a community, working around a product like that, you're gonna get, a distribution channel to maybe
Right.
a certain segment. So I
Yeah.
think, this is like, and for AI products, this is. These tactics have been true for e-commerce before AI, but they also we can see it applies equally to AI.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just like I'm doing some work right now on the concept of zero-click marketing. And that's how marketing has changed. Like for the past 30 years, the click was the holy grail. Get clicks. Who's going to click on my button? This and that. And that's going to go away with AI. Now it's different in every application. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to happen overnight. But the idea is that you're going to talk to your agent, and your agent, whatever it is going to help you do what you want. It's not going to be clicking on this
No.
button and then going to that page and then to that page and this page and that. I mean, that's all going to be in the past.
Yeah.
When it's going to happen, it's going to be interesting. But so and a really good point about the future of product managers also, like really the role of product manager also changed overnight.
Yes, yeah, completely.
So
So I can
yeah.
tell you like how I see like what's happening for in in product management, at least from my perspective, and I think also for the people in Freepik. It is basically the importance of the understanding of the technical side is a lot more important now. And also many tasks for product manager, you can basically create, let's say you have an idea, you can go to this like a service like V0, you can put it in prompt, you can build a prototype. So the product manager, it can work way more freely and probably also has like a wider, a wider scope of things they can be responsible for. But I think if you have a product manager who has good ideas, they can now work a lot more independently on moving forward on prototypes. So they can sit down with a programmer and say, here's like an idea, and they can even maybe, run a prototype they made themselves through some user testing. So they can get very, very far. So I think these kind of product managers who are creative and has some technical insights, they can get really far, alone. And basically create, I think, create a lot more value than if you work more traditionally, where you have a product trio of a product designer and a developer and a product manager. If the product manager now wants to do something, they can build the prototypes. They can get really, really far without necessarily having to depend on the different roles.
Yeah, and it's going to be even more of a paradigm shift in as we every year it's going to be even easier. And like the product manager, it really can be like the UX creator
Yes.
combined with the business person and the marketing all in one, and they're going to have these set of AI tools that are going to help them orchestrate ideas, test
Yes.
them, and see if it works or not.
Yes. Yeah. And also like more quick, everything will be quicker. Like also, like let's say the research phase, writing down a scope, many of these different tasks they were doing, you can see that all these things, they're being sped up. Like they're really
Right.
much faster today. So I think, maybe we're gonna have like a different title for product managers, because maybe when you talk about product managers, people think of a role from the past. But I think really, product managers today, they have so many amazing tools. And also for me personally, I got back to building products after being managing a larger team to now managing two small teams, but much closer to the product. And one of the major changes has been definitely like, just coding using AI.
It's a
We're
lot more
using,
fun. It's a lot
it's
more
a lot.
fun doing that
Yeah.
than managing just people.
Yeah. It's, but we're still like, we're still working as a team, but it's just, some of the, it can be anything. Recently we had, it's not only like code, it can also be, we had a problem with running the code on my own computer because there was a change from another developer, and I just got an error message from this internal server, and I put that error message into Claude AI and asked it, like, I can't get my local machine to work, what's the problem? And then it said, oh, I found out that these server settings are wrong, you have to just change that. So it's not only just the code, it's like, just you feel that you're sitting next to a senior developer who can answer any question you have straight away. And it's so, I find that when we are building products now, we don't get stuck very often. Whereas I think before coding with AI, you could get stuck until you could get, this guy to respond to you on Slack, or you can get in contact with this guy, who could help you and whatever. And you could get stuck for many hours. Right now,
Yeah.
you feel that you're always moving forward. And if you have problems, they can be solved very quickly. And what doesn't change is really like you have to have, you know, you have to have your vision about the product. How is the UI going to look? How are you going to structure the code? Right now, I don't feel AI is giving you automatically a good architecture. It's like if you let it, it will just create spaghetti code, right? So you need to have your programming background to understand, you know, are you moving, you know, are you moving the code in the right direction, or are you moving in a direction where you just end up in this corner, painted up yourself in the corner where you can't move forward, right? Because you just picked the
Right.
wrong approach. So, but I'm pretty sure that in 25, you know, this is still brand new. They will keep improving. But that's at least where we are right now. It's still, if you let it, it will create spaghetti code. So, but it's an amazing companion, and it just makes building products, you know, faster, more fun,
Yeah.
removes many of the frustrating parts for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's actually a really interesting conversation, probably even a different podcast just on the product management side of it, because that is also something that is changing, and you have a lot of experience in that. So let's get back to and finish on really sort of like the competitive market. Like if somebody, I'm a customer, right? I'm an end user, an end customer, and I want to start like really upgrading my UI. And I start a search and I try to figure out, okay, who can help me be my partner in doing this? How do I go through that decision-making process?
So as a you mean as a person who's building their own
Products.
products?
Yes.
So are you talking about in the context of basically using generative AI to help you do that?
Well, I need to figure out how to get my product upgraded. And do I use Midjourney myself? Do I learn that myself? Do I go to Adobe? Do I go to a different company like Freepik? So how do I make that evaluation for myself?
So I think, you know, many of these different providers, I mean, I could always like argue why Freepik is would be the best choice, but I think, you know, these, if you look at, for example, let's say image generation, you know, that you have a lot of different options. So if you need, you know, simply to have new images for your UI, that shows, you know, let's say something about your product. Maybe you're selling dog food, so you want some dogs. You have many options, right? But if you go like a step deeper, you know, okay, you say, I have this product shot. So I have my, you know, bag of dog food, and I want that to be shown in a certain context. You know, then you have a very specific use case and you need to look for a different set of tools. And then you can get some parts from, then you start like limiting the number of providers that could do that. What we are focusing a lot on is actually not necessarily only helping UI. It's more to give you a full set of assets. So let's say you're creating some images for your web shop or app, but then you also want to combine that into a campaign that you put on social media. So some of the products that we are working a lot on right now, and I think also this is where the big change is happening right now. So we've seen, you know, image generation really go from being useless to being photorealistic. Right now, you can get like a high resolution photorealistic image for many different players. What is happening right now is really in video. So video is where right now you can see, okay, you can take an existing image and then you can animate it. You can create like a 5 second video or 10 second video in great resolution. But what is happening right now is that you can start putting your products and even people in these videos, and it will keep that product of a person, you know, intact. So that opens up, you know, just a whole new world for, you know, for small, you know, small companies or even product companies of a bigger size who are working with agencies. They can suddenly create really creative, great looking content in-house by themselves. And people and it, you know, entrepreneurs, founders who are maybe on working with small teams, they can really create some new creative stuff that is, you know, that would have been completely out of their budget range if you're working like with traditional cameras and so on. So that's really where I see, you know, right now a big change for owners of companies, that you could be way more ambitious right now. You know, right now the if you dive a bit into which providers can create videos for you, you can actually create some really interesting visuals on a very small budget. And a personally, I think it's amazing, because it you know, there are no limits for what you can create. So you have a chance right now to stand out from the crowd. And we are seeing some of the big brands, like Adesso recently, Adidas released a full ad, video ad that was created 100% using AI.
Which one? Who?
Adidas, the
Adidas. Okay,
shoes.
Adidas.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
Adidas. So
Okay.
and we also had, like, before Christmas, we had Coca-Cola also doing, they have some you know, a Christmas ad, and they created one in. So you can see now the big brands are adopting it, and I think it's a sign of many of these technologies, like, really maturing. And also on the legal side, you know, a lot of companies now are comfortable with, you know, how the training data is, you know, acquired, tools and so on. So I think, you know, right now, video generation and creating marketing materials is really getting, you know, it's getting to a stage where you can really use it. We are talking to a company which they are really working a lot with A/B testing, and, you know, coming to us for help and asking us for an API access. And what they want to do is basically create images for advertising, and also for elements on their website. But then they wanted to automatically be able to create variations depending on the user's location, user's preferences. And then just measuring, like, which versions gets most clicks.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So I think, you know, this is like where this is where we are, you know. Video is a big trend where we are seeing that mature, but then we're also seeing, on the other hand, we're also seeing companies now saying, like, we don't want to necessarily go to your service, generate the image. You know, they are now saying, you know, we have this e-commerce software, we have A/B testing software, let's hook into an API and then just start automatically testing something. And you don't have to generate the image from scratch. You can start with an image, and then you can tell it to, you know, change this detail. Like, instead of making it daylight, make it nighttime. Or, you know, you can even change, like, the skin color of a person. So if you have a product shot and you say, okay, I want to have this person standing next to this car, but this person should now be, you know, Asian, and then because it's for the Asian market, and that's now possible. So there's, like, a lot of ways where images, they you don't have to fundamentally change it. You can use a product image and then just change it a bit, and then test whether that performs better, you know, higher click rate, higher conversion rate.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's like, really, it is a brand new world in creativity. So thank you so much for
Sounds good.
joining me today and talking about how Freepik is changing and the role of AI in your life.
Thank you for having me.